In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
A lot can happen in 6 days. August 9th, 2018 was the first of 6 days. 6 days of heavy lifting, long goodbyes, lots of lasts, and 1,000 miles of highway. And it began where most good Dallas stories do, Stan's Blue Note. If you're not familiar with Stan's, that's probably because you didn't spend a whole lot of Friday and Saturday nights in your 20s and 30s down on Lower Greenville. But when you are in your 30s and working at an advertising agency, and you have to move halfway across the country because your husband is starting seminary, and you're going to have to start working from a duplex in the middle of the backwoods in Tennessee, your advertising agency throws you a going away party at Stan's Blue Note. That's just how it goes. It was a great party. There was lots of love. And that was August 9th. It was a Thursday, and it was evening, and it was morning, the first day. Friday, August 10th, was my last day in the office at All Saints in Fort Worth. It was a day full of lasts. My last few emails and phone calls, I spent most of the day gathering up my things. I had to decide that my office couch was probably going to stay in Fort Worth because I didn't think there would be room for it on the moving truck. I put everything in order, laid out a calendar for the fall, and I drove back home to Oak Cliff and packed boxes and more boxes. And it was evening, and it was morning, the second day. Saturday, August 11th, boxes. Lots of boxes and packing, and more boxes and packing and cleaning, and it was evening and it was morning, the third day. Sunday, August 12th, we drove out to All Saints so that we could say goodbye to the parish, or at least so long for now. They had a lovely reception for us in the parlor, and they took up a collection to help cover our moving expenses. During the announcements, the rector mentioned to the congregation that I was headed off for a little retooling. And we drove home from All Saints for the last time for a long time, and we packed boxes and boxes and boxes, and it was evening and it was morning, the fourth day. Monday the 13th was fun because the oil change light in my car had been on for a few hundred miles. And I was a little worried about whether or not it would make the 1,000-mile road trip. After the oil change, Kevin at John Eagle Honda read off a litany of other things that needed to be fixed on the car. I told him, I'm sorry, but we're moving tomorrow, so they're just gonna have to wait till we get to Tennessee. He said, safe travels, but in a way that was more like, man, I hope you make it there in one piece. And there were more boxes, and there was more packing, and it was evening, and it was morning, the fifth day. On Tuesday, the 14th, we got up early to wash and dry the last load of laundry, our sheets and towels, so we didn't have to pack any dirty linens with us. A couple of guys got to our place at 9 o'clock to help load up the moving truck. And by the way, I was right, there was no room for that couch from my office. We packed the truck to the gills. The last thing that went in was my vintage, "The Episcopal Church Welcomes You" sign. And we pulled out of the apartment complex and we drove and we drove and we stopped for a burger in Hope, Arkansas. And we made it as far as Jackson, Tennessee before stopping for the night. And I didn't sleep very well because everything that we owned was in this giant moving van in this really sketchy parking lot, which is kind of funny because I'm not usually the worrier of the two. But that's okay because it was evening And it was morning, the sixth day. We got a lot done in those 6 days. We worked hard, we said difficult goodbyes, we drove 1,000 miles without trying to kill one another. And on the seventh day, we found our new home and started a new life. We met new friends and looked out on the Cumberland, off the Cumberland Plateau in Sewanee, and the glory of the Lord was revealed to us. Perhaps not the same way it was revealed to Moses or Peter, James, or John, but glory nonetheless. After 6 days of toil, the glory of the Lord is always revealed. In our readings for today, the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai for 6 days before calling Moses to come up into the cloud and retrieve the tablets of stone. And Matthew tells us that 6 days passed after the confession of Peter before he and James and John were taken up onto the mountain to witness our Lord's transfiguration. I don't think any of the authors of the Bible would mention a 6 day period of time on accident, much less Matthew and even less the author of Exodus. 6 days is full of meaning. For instance, 6 days of toil followed by a day of Sabbath is the bedrock of the foundation of the universe. The first chapter of the very first book of Scripture lists nothing but 6 days of toil. The author of Exodus references this 6 days of creation several times, that the Lord worked for 6 days and rested on the Sabbath. 6 days is also a pillar of God's commandment to Israel. You will work for 6 days, and then you will rest for one. Not 5 days, and certainly not seven. And you will do this because you are sons of Sarah and daughters of Abraham. This will be a sign that you are the Lord's chosen people. This commandment is brought up half a dozen times in Exodus alone. But back to Moses on the mountain. What happened in those 6 days? If it were five, I wouldn't have a clue and this wouldn't be a sermon. And if it were seven, I would think that the Lord might be up to something strange. But it was six. So I believe that it is about work. It's because the Lord was toiling. God was creating something new, a covenant, a set of commandments by which the Lord's people could dwell together in peace, in right relationship with one another and with their Creator. Is it surprising that it takes the same amount of time to create the cosmos as it does to take a system to help people try to learn how to get along? I don't think so. Getting along is hard work. If you don't believe me, just turn on the news. When Matthew writes his version of the Transfiguration, he includes all the same details from Exodus. There's a mountain, there's a cloud, there's a voice, and there's a vision of the divine that can only be described by its brightness. And there's 6 days. Matthew doesn't tell us what happens in those 6 days, but he goes to such extraordinary lengths to tie that to the story of Moses on Sinai that perhaps he's getting at the same thing. It's 6 days of toil. After all, Jesus' eyes are fixed on Jerusalem. Through his passion, death, and resurrection, the world will be recreated. Not an easy task. God is toiling, establishing a new covenant through these saving deeds. So while the Transfiguration recalls Moses on the mountain, it also prefigures Christ's death, not on a mountain, but on a green hill far away, and not in a cloud that can only be seen by those nearby, but through a cosmic act that affects the salvation for all. We are familiar with what it means to toil for 6 days, and there are lots of examples of this. But here's one. We do it every week, every year during Holy Week. If you work or volunteer with any of our liturgical ministries, you know how hard it is. It starts at sundown on Saturday with the first Palm Sunday service at the table, and then 2 big services on Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday have Eucharists and rehearsals and meetings, and then there's tenebrae on Wednesday and foot washing and more Eucharist on Thursday, and then the crucifixion on Friday, and then on Saturday, this church is completely turned over. The 6th day ends at sundown on Saturday, and then this place is transfigured. It's Sinai. It's the resurrection. After 6 days of toil, the glory of the Lord is always revealed. But what we do so grandly once a year, we do every other week as well. Toiling at the food pantry, in choir rehearsal, in your everyday lives, in your jobs, raising your kids, taking care of aging parents. At the end of the 6 days, every week, we come together and meet the transfigured Christ in word, in sacrament, and in the hearts of his faithful people. This pattern is woven into the fabric of our lives, and it prepares us for what happens on our last day. If the first 6 days of creation can cover 13.5 billion years of the universe, then 6 days can cover the span of your life as well. After a lifetime of toil, waiting at the foot of the mountain for the invitation to ascend, to see the dwelling place of the Almighty, we enter our rest that lasts for more than a day, for more than 6 days. It lasts to the end of days. A lot can happen in 6 days. Toil and labor, creation and recreation. And on the 7th day, we all get to rest. Following this pattern allows us to participate in the divine rhythm of God. And as long as we do so faithfully, we will not fail to see the brightness of Christ.